Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we blend the art of appraising with a touch of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned professional, or just curious about the appraisal world, you've come to the right place. So grab your favorite brew, relax, and join us for some expert tips, real-world stories, and valuable advice to help grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Hey, appraisers. Thanks for coming back and joining us. Today, we got Ernie Ramos again. And if for you guys who don't know Ernie, I'm going to do a short bio for him here. Ernie Ramos, IFA, ASA, Certified General Appraiser in Illinois. Illinois. Okay. Over 21 years of experience in residential, commercial, and industrial properties. A DeVry University graduate in computer electronics. He graduated with his Certified General license in 2007. Achieved the prestigious IFA ASA designation in 2019. Ramos founded Advanced Appraisal Associates in 2006, specializing in assessment appeals, estates, divorces, trusts, litigations, and more, mentored by the renowned appraiser Robert Schlitz, MAI. I think he also founded the beer company. He honed his expertise under the exceptional guidance. Ramos is a member of ICAP, ASA, and several professional networks. He served clients ranging from private owners, attorneys, to government entities like the IRS and local municipalities. Now based in Mokena with his family, he remains a trusted name in the appraisal services. That is a ChatGPT summary of your one-page bio.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Your bio was way too long.
What's happening, Dan? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you're welcome. Was it really Robert Schlitz? Is that right? Like the beer?
Yeah. Yeah, he was the former director of the Cook County Assessor in Chicago before he was an appraiser. So he was my mentor. He passed in 2012 unexpectedly. An expert litigator guy. You know, a guy I always thought I'd have to bounce off of, even if we worked side by side or not. You know, it could be now I'm like, I got this crazy job that I need help with. I always thought I'd have them to reach out to, but.
Well, maybe you're now that person for somebody else.
Yeah. I'm actually that guy for the guy who introduced me to him and mentored me on the residential side. So I'm him for him, if that makes sense. And the guy's 70, been praising for 40 years, you know.
Oh, sheesh. That's a long time. That's the median age of an appraiser, probably 70 years.
Yeah. Right. I know it's probably at least 60, right?
Yeah. All right, so it's Friday, Eastern time, 5 o'clock. Ernie, is it 4 o'clock for you?
Yep, 4 o'clock.
Yeah. So I'm done with appraising. Finished my last report. So we're kicking back with a couple beers. We're gonna name this Appraisal Unplugged. No filter talk about the industry or profession, whatever you want to call it. So
I got a little bit to finish after this. I wanted to be done, but I got a little bit.
I'm totally done. I'm taking off. We're going out of town. I'm coming back on Monday afternoon, so I'm done until Tuesday.
Good for you.
So what are you working on now?
Oh, man. You know, so we picked up a bunch lately, and we really focus a lot on divorces and estate. Working on now. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
You know, we typically focus our bread and butter is kind of divorces and estates. You know, and the lending work we do outside of the private work is multi-families, like 5 and up units. But lately, a lot of weird stuff's been coming in. I just had an estate, you know, dated as of May of 2024 just for a single family house, but they needed it done as of 1996 as well. And our searchable data, you know, our typical, you know, before the archived in our MLS only goes back to 2008. So, you know, it's like, what, 34 years or something like that, you know, whatever.
How do you get the, I always have this question is like, sure, I can go back with public records as far back as whenever, but how do you verify the condition of the property back then? And right. How do you know what your subject was back then? If there's, if it's already been sold or what?
Yeah, right.
How do you do that? I would love to do them because I charge a shitload for them.
Yeah, right. And you know, and this was a referral from a good agent I met in one of my professional networking groups, and we've become, you know, kind of partners on some things. And it was a trust manager at a bank that ordered it. And so I wasn't too heavy on him with the fee, but it's because I researched it a little bit before. It's almost, it's so hard to quote something like that when you don't know the data you're going to find or how long it's going to take you to do it.
You should almost quote like a retainer, like, hey, it's going to be,
right.
You need a 6-hour retainer, you know, $100 an hour, 150 or two, whatever, right. An hour.
Right. You know, and I've done retrospective since, you know, my first week with, you know, with my MAI mentor, like some of the stuff we were doing 10 years back, you wouldn't have access to the property. And it was just like litigation cases and stuff. So always had, you know, that kind of experience, but when you don't have the data and you can't just search with descriptions, it's freaking tough. But what we do have access to is some archive searches all the way back to the 80s, and I can search MLS listings. It's just how you search the criteria.
Well, where is the archive? Where is this coming from?
In our MLS. It has an archive thing. So it'll archive just a flat listing with no photo, but a description, the basic listing, and it'll bring it all the way back.
How do you get that? Like, there's a separate archive section?
Yeah. I wish I could share my screen. I don't know if I can.
You can share your screen. Yeah, go to present.
Let me see here.
Because I would love to know, like, maybe mine has one. I don't even know it. Because ours retired as a mat. Like, they used to retire 15 years, but I think they stopped doing that, and they just keep the data now.
Right.
Because I just got a request for one for 2002, and I'm like, I need to look to see what data is available before I can even before
right,
I
right, right. It. Let me see real quick. Got it in the wrong.
Is it what's the MLS? Is it like Matrix? Is it
ours is called Midwest Real Estate Data. It's called MRED. So let's
is see. It by CoreLogic? Do they own it or?
Yeah, no, you know, a part of our tax records used to be with them, and then it switched to this thing called Remind. Let me go back here, cancel, present, share screen, and here we go, boom, here we go. You able to see it?
At the stage? Yeah, I got it.
So here's our normal search, where you can just search by address, but like this is our normal search criteria. Right. Let me do the classic. I don't do this modern crap, but this is just a setting where you can search with any criteria, you know, but again, it only goes back to 2008. You could do all months, but it only go back to 2008. But here, what is it? Archives.
Archives.
Yeah. Ooh. And maybe yours has it, maybe it, but look, it could go all the way back to 1980. And you can search in an area, you know, and search just closed, you know, but it's very limited. You know, you can't do a map search, you can't do a parcel number search to kind of narrow it down. You know, you're searching through a ton of data.
Got
you
it.
Know, if you're, you know,
so you're almost pulling up a public record almost and then trying
right. to find the old let me report. Give a little example of what one might look like.
Yeah, I don't think ours has an archive search.
Let's see. You know, it doesn't let you do city. It does this area, you know,
So the only thing is when you use, we have IMAP, like it's called IMAP here for like public record search. We can use that as one of the sources. So, and you can search for the sales going back however long, and then you can click MLS, a linked record to MLS, and it'll kind of pull up an old MLS, whatever it has on record. So you can kind of use that. But there's no archive, at least that I'm aware of, in SCF MLS, which is I use Matrix.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Right. Let me see if it'll pull. I'm just looking at my town in 2006. So it gives me 318 sales. But, you know, something of that nature. But this is what it'll look like. It'll actually give me the listing and description if they have one. It's just no photos, no anything, you know.
So you're taking probably what, an extra 2 hours of research doing these properties?
At least, you know. And it just depends where you're at. You might have plenty of data in certain areas, and then other areas just might be, you know, you can't do a whole town because the town's large and you gotta, you know, find a certain property type. It's just crazy. It just takes a lot of time, but it was fun. It was super fun to do that one that far back. And, you know, like you said, you can search tax records, but like once they sell, you start losing those tax records, you know. But I was able to like find listings at the time too, like right in my area, this little town I was doing, and then backtrack the county recorder, you know, use the description from the listing, but backtrack the county recorder and find, you know, the deeds that transferred during that period that I was searching for.
Hold on. Say that again. You can't search, like you don't have every sale listed on like the public record or the tax record for the tax for the property.
It only go back a certain amount of time, you know, like our tax records. I mean, on the recorder, you can, if you go online to the recorder's office, if the data is good, but like in our MLS tax records, like whatever printouts through Realist or Remind, it'll only show what fits on the page. So if there was like three transfers, you know, like there were three transfers since 2000, it's not going to go beyond, you're not going to see that sale. So then you got to go online to the recorder's office and then track the sale.
Got it. Like the property appraiser's office has all the sales recorded.
I reached out to the assessor, and it took them like a week and a half to get back to me. I was already done with the thing by then, but they're like, yeah, my property didn't have any records prior to 2001, and it was built in the 70s. It's just because this area didn't even probably have online databases or anything, and, you know, barely any technology back then. So,
ours are mostly good for the most part. Like the property appraiser's office has every sale like going back to like the 70s.
Yeah,
that's like on the property appraiser's record, so it's really good here.
Yeah, you guys have good square footage records and stuff.
It's so easy down. It's very easy to appraise down here. A lot of properties.
Ours is terrible, you know. But whatever, you know.
Well, it gives you more discretion, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It makes you more desirable than maybe down here where somebody can just look themselves almost sometimes.
But besides that, you know, I'm working on some office condos and some commercial / light industrial land. It's just it's a pain in the ass right now, just because there hasn't been a lot of sales of it. And what else? What else is real cool? I got some easements I'm working on for a municipality of a large. It's for Joliet, Illinois. So like the city of Joliet. So that's where they like the Blues Brothers drove through and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably like 30 minutes outside of Chicago. It's big. It's an old town. It was established like in the late 1800s, you know, around these lime quarries and stuff. But I'm doing some easements for them, you know, for like their water main. And it wasn't anything I had a bunch of experience with the Miami Eye, but I have a ton of land experience, and I have a friend from up, you know, northeast that kind of is doing doing easements and right-of-way work, and he gave me a couple tips on the little ways of valuing that I wasn't aware of, and helped me through it. And it's a little fun. It's not fun when you're super busy, but it's cool to do alternative work than, you know, the stuff we do, you know.
There's a different set of standards for right-of-way.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that stuff, really.
All right. How did you get that job? How did you get that assignment?
I've been doing some stuff for municipalities. So, you know, I think it just starts to get picked. Some of it's like,
are you on their list? Are you on their like bid list if they have a bid in the area and you're on their list?
No, I did some stuff for my county I live in that way, you know, and I did like 250 acres for them on an arterial one time that way. But this is they do all ask for a bid, but they could have found me online. I don't know, or I could have did something for another entity and they just kind of refer, you know. I do a bunch of land, so I mean, hopefully I'm doing a good job, you know, because it's cool to get clients that are either municipality wise or government wise or like school districts or park districts we do stuff for, but like it's not a huge source of my income, but it's very cool stuff to do. And you know, and it's not just a property owner calling.
Yeah, right. Like outside the box, be like, and right. In fact, they're like, oh, wow, the school district is hiring me for this job. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, right. It feels good. Yeah. You know, and
tell your wife that one, like, honey, the school district just hired me for this assignment. She'll be like,
right.
I don't give a shit.
Well, you want to hear some crazy. For a while, I was doing stuff for the IRS. And I don't know how in the world I got called, because some of the stuff I wasn't even qualified to do. But I was doing stuff for the Department of the Treasury /IRS, and there were seizures.
Oh, yes. I've done a seizure before. I've been hired for a seizure before. It was like a drug bust or something. And it's in the they seized the property and they needed it appraised.
Yeah.
It was like two properties. This had to be like probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. When I first started doing them, I was 12. And I did some, like you're saying, for the county too. The weird thing is when I charged them more than $425 or $450, they stopped ordering because they got some other idiot to do them, the residential ones. But these other ones for the IRS were commercial. Most of them were getting taken. It was either drugs or it was gambling machines. And the properties for a family. It was one where I did 12 properties for a family. I mean, not for a family, but owned by a single family. An entity was for the IRS, and it was because they owned gambling machines illegally. They were illegally running them, you know. And another ones were, you know, someone got caught with a couple pounds of weed or something, and they took the kid's property, and he was like 25 or something, you know. And whatever happened. But here's the weird thing: within a year or so of me doing, you know, the majority of these, all of this stuff was legal. You know, like gambling was brought legal to this whole area that they busted these guys and took all their properties. Now gambling's legal there. You know, you got to have licenses.
That does not seem right. That does not seem right. That's like it's need to go retrospective back and go ahead and give these people the property back if it was made legal.
But it's not. You have to be licensed and approved, and you get approved by committees and to have these little gambling spots in your facility. Either on its own or in your bar, in the bar, but like, you know, Illinois passed it. But I mean, they weren't approved for what they had, you know, and they were doing illegal stuff. It is what it is. But it was interesting.
They deserve the property to be taken then.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's just funny.
Yeah. So this, so today, I'm wondering what I'm doing next week. It seems like this week was kind of busy. Next week is kind of slow. It's shaping up to be slow for me next week, but I did get a couple of calls. One of them was a divorce assignment, three values, 2002 when they got married, like 2006 when they transferred the property to somebody else, which now makes it like marital property, and then a current value as well, or date of filing.
Wow.
So it's already a complex property. So it's like almost like probably $2,000-$3,000 in fees. And then in addition to that, she's like, this is an attorney I've worked with a few times before in the past. They have two properties in the north state of Florida, two lots that need appraised. Then also they need a couple of trailers, an RV, and 50 fucking head of cattle. She's like, I'm like, Well, yeah, just I'll manage it. I'll figure out who can do it, and I'll manage the I'll manage it all for you, and I'll take care of it. So that's my challenge next week, is figuring out who can appraise 50 head of cattle. I have no idea who can do that.
You know, there's this guy that you've had lunch with recently that knows a lot.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I bet he can appraise anything. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't. I texted him and I hold on. Let me look.
I know he knows. He's gotta. Hopefully Howard's listening one of these days, though.
He does. He's interested in the ribeye steaks, but he doesn't know anybody who handles livestock. But he is a great resource.
Yeah, it's a good resource.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But that'll be fun to figure out that one. But listen, I'm for this attorney. If I go over above and find her somebody who can appraise fucking 50 head of cattle,
right?
I think that would set me apart from every other appraiser that she's ever worked with before.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll tell you. When I first got, when the IFA merged with the ASA, the American Society of Appraisers, I went to a couple events, and I haven't been to an event since, because since COVID, nobody has any kind of normal events anymore for appraisers, it seems, unless you're the AI or something, I guess. But I met a bunch of personal property and non-real property appraisers at these events, and a bunch of interesting individuals, way different than the real estate appraisers you meet, because they appraise machinery and businesses and like non-tangible things and art. And I think the regulations are pretty damn loose.
I think you can get a designation. I'm really not sure. You can get a designation. But I know they refer a lot of shit to commercial appraisers. They do.
They for real were estate. So happy and stress-free. Like, you know, you go on the forums, everybody's all upset and uptight and the regulations and stuff. And, you know, and I mean, I try not to feed into all that stuff, you know, and when you're
private, you practically, you feed it all the time. Just with comments.
Hey man, you gotta be funny and help at the same time. At least.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but I guarantee somebody with the ASA, and if you go to appraisers.org, there'll be a profile with someone that'll do that, you know, and because there's so many weird specialties. And I mean, it's weird. You wouldn't think there's a bunch of money in it. I mean, I'd love to appraise cars, for God's sakes. I would do vehicles and weird stuff over real estate if I could, if you could make any money doing it.
You know? Yeah, exactly. But so I do know some auto appraisers. I do know some like machinery and auto people, auto appraiser stuff like that.
But well, I just don't think they're regulated.
Right, let me go on ASA. I'll look in ASA. Let me see.
I don't
here.
Think they're regulated that much, and that's why they're so stress free. Yeah, I just couldn't imagine being in court and I mean going up against someone else who's way better and you're fighting about a machine. Like, I don't know.
I can't wait. I hope it goes to trial. That'll be amazing. I'll sit in on that trial. I'll ask the attorney to sit in on that. It has to be on Zoom and be like, I want to hear what this livestock appraiser has to say about the 50 head of cattle. Like, are they male, females? Like, what is the, like, what's the, how much are they worth per pound? That's got to be right. There has to be some.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the Midwest. There has to be 100%. Some that do that. 100%. Like, even like crop adjusters, there has to be like livestock adjusters or something like that.
Yeah. My MAI guy used to appraise land in Wisconsin. Like forestry and stuff, you know, and I would just look at it like, what in the heck are you talking, you know, but it was a value in the timber, you know, and it's just crazy. But you
know, I don't see livestock on here. I see agriculture, which is probably land. I don't see livestock on ASA's website.
Right. You know what though?
Maybe I'll put that in the referral. I'll put that on the fucking referral thing. Like, hey, specialties livestock. and see what.
I guess it's got to be more common in appraising their dogs or something. You know, it's got to be super common. You know,
I'm just surprised it's a contention in a divorce. Like, oh, by the way, honey, you own that 50 livestock. I want half of that.
Right.
Maybe they should just be like, I'll take 25. You take 25 and see what happens.
That's weird stuff, man.
I don't know if the livestock's on the land or it's somewhere else that they want appraised. Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. I haven't had any weird divorces lately. Most of mine are pretty simple and non-contentious lately. So, you know.
Oh, shit.
That's always
non-contentious. I have a freaking deposition on Friday. I didn't do the appraisal yet. I'm going to do the appraisal like a day or two before, complete it.
Oh, damn. That tight,
like the depositions, like, I just did the inspection today, or the observation, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Right.
And then the depositions are a Friday. Depositions are terrible. I've never been to a one where it was like, oh, I feel really good about that. It's always like, oh, my God, this is terrible.
Yeah. Is it in person?
Yeah, it's in person. Yeah. They refuse to do it on Zoom.
Yeah. The Zoom ones I've had were pretty smooth. But, like, you know, anyone in person, they're kind of screwy. You know, they're kind of stressful and weird.
Yeah. I remember my first one, it was probably like 10 years ago, maybe like 8 years ago. When I first, when like, started doing non-lender stuff, it was like a title company was suing. They transferred the title. There was some title issues, and then the owner took over, and then the title company was suing the owner because it wasn't really hers. And it was about a rental surveys that were done over the years to figure out what, you know, how much they could sue the person for. It was for rentals per month or whatever. So I did a bunch of the rental surveys. Horrendous, horrendous experience. It was in person. I was not happy with my performance. I called my wife. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I hope I don't get sued over this. This was a terrible experience. This was the worst experience of my life. Being tested by this attorney for like an hour. He was like pulling up, oh, did you send this email? Oh, what was the content of this email? I see a link here. What was in that link? Oh, did you go in here? That link showed every part of the property. Did you look in the closets? What was in those closets? It was like, he picked apart every single thing from this work file and was just asking so many questions. I was just losing my shit and just like, oh, I don't know. I don't recall.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It takes practice and advice, you know, and, you know, my first depositions were for jobs I did with Miami AI, and it was after he passed. So they were just trying to pick me and his son-in-law apart, you know, in these litigation cases because they knew he wouldn't be there to smoke them, you know. But I didn't know what the fuck to answer or not answer because I didn't have anybody telling me. You know, I didn't have the mentor anymore, you know, and I was already certified general and, like, I thought I could be in that position, but I didn't know what I should answer, what I should remember, what I shouldn't, because it was, like, 5 years or something.
And that's what happens is when you just totally forgot about the file. And so this time it's like, well, you have to realize that the opposing counsel is trying to get you to say something that he can use in trial, because the trial is in a couple of weeks for this one, that they can use against you. But the attorney that referred me, she's not my attorney, but she'll like object if he's like, she'll object or whatever for something. But she's not my attorney either. So you can technically have your own attorney there helping you, guiding you through the questions like, oh, no, he's not going to answer that or something like that.
Right. But
nobody does that. Yeah. And there's certain things that you need to know about when you get that notice to appear for deposition and what you can supply. Like, there's certain laws in Florida, like if it's within a certain time period, they can't request you to bring your work file or whatever if they didn't give you enough time in advance or something like that. So it depends on what type of subpoena or whatever the depositions they're requesting.
Yeah, it gets tricky. Thankfully, it doesn't happen, you know.
No.
A crap load, you know.
No, for me, like the divorce stuff, like I do a lot of divorce stuff, but in partition, that's kind of like the only time it happens, but not often at all. like a handful of my entire career.
You just need to be ready
because it's all about money. Like if it's a high net worth case, yeah, you're probably going to have a deposition. If it's like a one that maybe just going to trial and there's not deposition of appraisers like when it's a lower one.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Or even an average one. This just happens to be like a higher net worth one where it's going to trial.
And yeah, because
they just kind of milk the clients for everything they got or something.
And because it's tens of thousands of dollars to go through that. So unless they really got it, no one's going to go through beyond mediation and go to trial. And judges don't want that to happen either. It's just like you said, if there's a lot of net worth there, then it's a possibility. I guess that's where you just be more careful or be ready to go if you can tell it's a high net worth client. I guess.
Yeah. So this I need to do. This one is data current value and data filing for this case I'm doing. So it's two appraisals. Yeah, I'm gonna be real careful with this because the trial is set for a couple weeks from now. So I know I'm already going to trial unless they like stipulate to my appraised value or whatever.
Right.
So you better believe agents being called, every agent's being interviewed on every comp I use.
Yeah, right. You have a lot of double, like two appraisals for the same property. I don't see that as much besides the one that I was just explaining. I don't get that a ton.
It's really common for premarital, like.
It just must have to do with the laws and how.
It all depends. Like premarital property, you need the appraisal as of the date of marriage and as of the date of filing or current value, whichever the attorney picks. Those are very common. And there's a certain analysis that's done in the state of Florida. It's called CAH analysis. And there's a statute that says, which calculates the passive and active appreciation. A forensic accountant takes my appraisals and then figures out what that portion is that they're allowed. But for this one, it's the attorney wanted to know the current value and the value as of the date of filing, because there can be an argument that the date of filing was the time when everything stops. So that should be the date that he gets to buy her out, was the date of filing. So she wants to kind of make that argument. I don't know if it benefits the client. Right. I don't really know.
It makes sense because all the ones I was doing from near COVID, near just prior to COVID and on, values were changing so fast and court was getting so delayed that the values were so here one minute, there the next, and they would keep on wanting to get appraised. Hey, we need a new appraisal. We didn't go to court. We're not going to trial yet, or we haven't settled yet. And I'm like, it's only been 6 months. What are they fishing for? But when you step back now, you realize like the market was going crazy, and they kind of had the right thought, at the time. It's just, you don't want to be fish, if they're fishing for value, you don't want to be the one involved in that, It just makes me uncomfortable. Why are you doing it? Why are you appraising it again? You didn't like my value the first time? Well, because they want a higher value. Then it makes it seem like, you're kind of, being coerced by them to bring it up,
So I found a lot of times if the case has been dragged on a while, like if I did an appraisal a year ago for a divorce and it's finally not settled yet and they're going to trial or something, the attorney will ask for an update because that judge can either, it's all up to that judge. And it's been my experience that judge, if there's another appraisal done, that judge is picking the most current value. I don't care if I'm a star witness and the most qualified appraiser, it doesn't matter. I think that judge is picking the most updated value. So a lot of times if it's going to trial, the attorney will ask for an appraisal update. and that's the updated value for the trial. And because if the other side did one more recent, you don't want to use the value as of a year ago. The judge is going to side with the new value probably.
Right.
And the judge is not splitting. That's not possible. They're not splitting values. They're picking whichever appraisal that they're picking an appraisal. They're not splitting value.
The judge is not doing it. The problem, it's sad though that they do split a lot. And
I don't think they can here. I don't think they can.
You know, I had an attorney tell me that the case, and he's like, you know, this county and this, you know, they can't split an appraisal. So we just need, you know, you came highly recommended, you know, we just need credible and supported, and, you know, they can't split it. The other one is total low ball, and it was. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then at the end of the day, like, they're like, the judge's like, we don't want you guys to go to trial. And they split it. And some of it had to do with my side, the husband just saying, okay, my kids are living there. Let's settle. Let's not keep dragging this out kind of thing. But they still split it. You know, but it's just, it was 160 grand off of my value. Wow. And like it was so low. There wasn't a sale. I didn't have a comparable within 50 grand where this person was at.
How does that happen? How?
I don't know. They just picked the low one and adjusted nonsense, unsupported crap, you know, but like, I don't think I even ever went to court on it, you know, and then they're like, we settled. Then they reached out to me 3 months later. And after they said they settled, oh, we need you in court in November.
Oh, to try and initiate the sale or something like
that? Maybe it was going back to court. I thought you guys settled. And I'm like, you know what? Reach out to me more closer to the date, because you guys already screwed me on preparing and setting up the date and then not needing me. And then they never called me again. So,
yeah.
You know,
here's a tip for those appraisers listening. I don't do shit going before trial. Like, if it's one that I did like a year ago, I don't do anything until they tell me like, hey, we really need you, because all the time it's 95% of the time it settles. So you don't want to do any extra work before you need to.
Right.
And like, I'll put it on my calendar. And then basically 2 weeks before the trial, I'll be like, hey, is this still happening?
And it won't. You're right. It won't. We settled.
I just happened this week. Like, I had it on my calendar probably 3 months ago. He's like, all right, the trial date's set. I text the attorney. I'm like, yo, do you still need me for trial in a couple of weeks? He's like, nope, we settled. I'm like, all right.
Thanks for letting me know. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit. They're not remembering to tell the appraiser.
No, they don't care about your time, because they're not paying you out of their pocket either. Yeah. You know, and they don't care how much they rush you or anything. Even if they're kind of good and decent people, they still don't give an F, you know?
Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, all the attorneys I like to work with are like people it's somebody I could just bullshit with. Like, even their paralegals that call or whatever, they're like, I'm like, yeah, you can be for real. You can like just bullshit with me and like be for real. You don't need to like limit anything with me. Like be on the up and up with me, and like don't hold anything back. And it's like a good relationship with a lot of them like that. Like, they know like, oh, Dan will bullshit with me about the property or whatever, and he'll tell me what's really going on and not be like, oh yeah, really like. Stickler for stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, most of the time though, the ones I do, they're all ordered by one of the spouse, you know, the husband or the wife, or sometimes it's both. You know, sometimes we get them from both. Sometimes the court or the judges will pick one, and sometimes we'll be that one, and they won't get two, which is cool, you know. But it just, you know, it depends. It's lately it hasn't been the attorneys. I used to get them from attorneys more often, but now it's kind of directly from the property owner.
Why? So they're just finding you, the attorneys aren't referring you, or
sometimes the attorneys will refer, or sometimes the attorney will be like, you know, I don't know what the trend is. There was a post on this in 100% group recently, or one of the groups had to be that one. And it was just like where your divorce work comes from, you know? And most of people were saying it comes from, you know, one of the property owners.
And, I commented on that one. I know that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It lately, like early on when I wasn't focusing on it as much.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You know, attorneys reached out all the time. Sometimes they would make their client our client, and sometimes the attorneys would order it. But now the volume of them we do, because, I mean, I probably do two or three divorces a week, I would say. At least two almost. And it's always the, you know, the property owner, one or the other. Sometimes they're, like, so amicable that it'll be both. You know, I said... You know, which is cool, I guess.
So, do you ask them where they found you? Where do you ask them?
Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes we do. You know, a lot of times it's just, you know, just online and our online.
You got to ask them every time where they found you, every time.
Yeah.
I mean, that every time.
Sometimes they don't.
Like, I work with like a bunch of attorneys and they all refer their clients to me. So when the client calls, he's like, hey, I was referred to you by your attorney.
Right.
That the spouse is my client, then my client. But I just, right. I posted that. I'm like, the spouse is my client. And I just, the attorney's an intended user. I send the attorney the appraisal as well, CC'd. They're on my engagement letter as an intended user as well. And then if they find me on Google or whatever, like, hey, I'm going through a divorce. I need an appraisal because I have like freaking blogs about divorce and stuff. So people will search divorce appraisal, area. So then they hire me and then I'm like, all right, who's your attorney? I make them put their attorney as an intended user and I send the appraisal to the attorney as well. And I follow that up with like, hey, I noticed I haven't worked with you before in the past. If you ever need anything, let me know. I do a lot of divorce work. I love it when they have found me on Google.
Yeah, that's a good way to deal with it for sure. You know, it is. Yeah, it's weird though. I think I don't know what the trend is, but it seems like hey, go get an appraisal. They tell them. You know,
I think that's so poor. Like this one I just did for an attorney. She referred me to her client. Her client called me like 6 weeks ago, calling around just looking for the best price. It turns out he got an appraisal done somebody out of Miami, which is probably like 50-60 miles away for $400. So the attorney's like, all right, we'll see if he'll testify in court or whatever. This attorney won't go to court. This attorney's like, or this appraiser's like, no, I won't go to court.
Right.
So I'm like, ain't that some shit? You just spent $400 on the lowest price fee. Meanwhile, this is a fucking $3.5 to $4.5 million house.
No shit.
$400. The appraiser didn't even, there was no sketch in the appraisal. There was nothing. It was just like,
was it on a lender form too?
No, it was on a GPAR. It was not on a
lender. At least they got that part right. Jeez.
So I was like, I'm like, you dumbass. You called me 6 weeks ago. I told you, like, I do a lot of divorce work. I'm really familiar with this. And we talked for a while. And during when I was on the phone with him, I searched up his attorney because you can search that on public records, like if they filed divorce, who their attorneys are. Because
I didn't know
who his attorney was. Because I asked him and he wouldn't answer. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's just for me. I'm like, something shady is going on here. So I searched real quick. And it was an attorney I worked for who referred me for this one. I'm like, interesting. I didn't even mention that. And now I'm like, this guy just wasted $400. Now is paying, my fee was close to $1,100 for the same assignment.
Right.
Like three times that. Now he has to pay that, then pay for another appraisal because she wanted the data value or the data filing for divorce. And in addition to that, he's got to pay for the testimony next month because they're not going to settle. So I'm like, buddy, you just blew $400 because you were trying to save trying to save. I don't know how much you were trying to save for a $3 million house. so good getting that call. I'm like, yeah, my fee is the same fee I quoted you 6 weeks ago when you called me, because I keep track of all my stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What else?
So that was a good win today.
Yeah, I bet. What else you want to get into? Well, I got to go get another brew. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, go get another drink.
So hopefully it's history, but we're doing this the night of the Tyson Jake Paul fight.
Oh yeah,
so that's tonight.
Do you think it's? I'm playing poker later tonight. Do you think it's going to happen right at 8 o'clock? Is there some pre-fights? What is it? I didn't
know. You know, I don't even know. It can't happen right at 7. They got to have a bunch of fluff before it. They got to.
So I fucked up the times. I'm right. So I thought we were meeting at 3 o'clock or 3 o'clock your time, 4 o'clock my time. But you're like, no, 4 o'clock my time. I'm like, shit.
Oh shit. Sorry.
5 o'clock my time.
Yeah, I was hoping to finish when I had to too. I still got to wrap it up.
What are you drinking? Amstel Light. What is that?
Yeah, it's Amstel Light.
Is that popular there?
No.
I haven't had Amstel in forever.
So I have a freaking gluten intolerance for like 20 something years, and there's like none in here. If I drink like real hoppy beers, I get real tired.
Really? So there's no gluten in Amstel, really?
Yeah, like Mexican beers and Amstel, there's nothing.
Do you like Dos Equis? I like Dos Equis Amber.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. But like, I'll drink like Corona Light or some other.
Because you are Mexican, right? You're Mexican?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't think I can ask that anymore. That's not
right. Right. Yeah, you can't. my father's a Texican. You know? But yeah, what else?
Oh, so Axe. Speaking of, are you going to the Axe?
What's that?
Conference? Are you going to the Axe conference in Texas?
No. I don't think. Is that the one that's made in April, maybe?
Yeah. I was going to go, but I just freaking looked up the hotels. They're like $1,000 a night. It's absolutely insane. Because it's the NCAA.
Oh, wow. It's
that same weekend there.
It's in San Antonio, right?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to go.
I was thinking about it, but that's where they had Appraiser Fest. And my dad was born there, but he's been here since the 60s. He was here in the 50s in Chicago, and he moved back in like the late 60s. So he's never moved back. But my grandmother lived there when they had Appraiser Fest in 2018. My grandma was still alive, and I have family there, immediate family. So it was like a win-win for me to go there. You know, it was a freaking blast. It was cool to meet appraisers and, you know, people you meet online, but a lot of cool and well-known appraisers and very knowledgeable ones too. And, you know, and back when, I mean, I don't think I've ever been to a conference outside of the local stuff. So it was freaking awesome. And I would love to do it again. And I guess I would go there, but I'm not paying $1,000 a night to stay
anywhere. Yeah, I was going to go when I saw hotel rates. Well, there's shittier hotels you can get for less, right, or whatever. But like the one that was there was like, it's already sold out, but it was like $1,000 a night or whatever some other ones.
It wasn't bad in 2018, whatever. And I got one right there. I have some connections down there. We'll talk. One of my uncle's that's even from here, not from there, not a different side. His buddy runs a hotel like a Marriott down there. So see if I can figure something out. My cousin she's an attorney. She lives down there, and she's renting a house they just rehabbed. I wonder if she'll Airbnb it for us.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting a vendor booth for the appraisal referral network, something like that.
I'm sure it'd be costly though, you know. I bet it would be, because those things are all about money. But I mean, if some of the right people go and some of the right, I mean, I would like to attend another conference. I just have no interest in meeting AMCs or nationwide lenders, you know.
I couldn't agree more with you. Not my market.
Right.
Not my market. Listen, if you wanna hire me and pay me what I make for private stuff, sure. I'll do that all day long.
I'll do the work, right.
Yeah. I have no problem working for lenders if that's the case. Right. I love doing my direct lender stuff. That's high dollar stuff. That's like like competitive with the other stuff.
Right.
I have no problem doing lender work.
Smoozing with the, you know, with the AMC's people or whatever is nothing I want to do at all. But I would attend another conference for sure. You know, I'll look into that and see if I get a deal on anything down there or something. You know, I'll let you know. But it'll be cool. What else were we going to talk about? Maybe some office setups or tech.
You were busting my chops about what were you doing?
In the field, guys. Dan is pretty innovative here, right? And he's still using a clipboard and camera, I think.
All right. So, Ernie, look at this. This is literally my clipboard
folder. And is it like loose leaf paper there?
So this is a piece of plastic that's got grid lines on it. Uh-huh. So you can go any. All right. So let me try and put it. I'll put a piece of paper over there. So any, even though it's antiquated, you press down and mm-hmm. you can draw a perfect line.
I gotcha.
It's called Aculine Draw System.
Oh, okay.
I've used it since day one.
I've never seen anything like that, but I get you.
I've used it since day one.
Yeah, that's cool.
And again, I use ACI.
Right.
I know you freaking total people have better options for online, but I'm.
They're
I don't like it.
Your mobile sucks.
Hey
man, I worked with ACI for a long time, probably 6 or 7 years, you know, and you get comfortable, you build your templates and you know, your software, and it's simplistic. It doesn't crash at all. Like I still have it on a computer and it freaking runs still, you know. I ran it for 4 years without a service contract and backed in the 1004 MC file. And didn't even do updates.
Yes. So I think you can still run. I can do everything with it. I can do, even if I didn't have a license, I think I can do all the GPAR stuff and just the mapping stuff, but you can do it with all without having a license. Right. But
they would allow you before to just buy the mapping too. Like you could just renew your Microsoft mapping with them. That's how they used to do it. But I'll tell you, it took me a while to kind of want to switch because you just don't want to start your templates over again. You know, you don't want to start your database over. It's crazy. Once you do a lot, that helps your efficiencies too.
Yeah.
It's just, man, when I switched, it took, you know, I think I ran into Dustin, the appraiser coach at a seminar here in Chicago. He did. And he's showing everybody on a tablet. And I'm like, and he's like, why aren't you using it? You know, and I'm young at the time compared to all the geezers in the room. But I'm stuck with this. I love my templates, you know, and I just watched some videos that he had and some other people had of you know how they're doing it. And I tried it, and it took me a long time to do the sketch in the field on the tablet. What I would do is I stuck to drawing it, then I come back. You know, on the couch with the wife, and I would do the sketch on the tablet, you know, in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, just to get used to it. And man, I mean, once I transitioned to that, along with at the time, Spark wasn't around, but I used a data entry company to just help me, you know, put my maps in or enter some of the MLS and county data and doc numbers and sites of the comps and enter some of that information. It just started changing my efficiencies. And, you know, you're doing it all on one device, not taking pictures, then moving them into a folder on your computer, then swapping the pictures over or inserting them through the database in your software. It's all done. You know, you're
all right. So hold on. How are you taking pictures in the field? With your tablet?
Yeah, I use a tablet. Some people use their iPhone. I just like the separation. So I use a tablet with Total for Mobile on it. And it's, you know, your software and your template for your you know, for your individual form is set up in the Total for Mobile. So you're basically taking them in the form and you're sketching in the software. And when you upload it, my assistant takes it from the cloud when I'm out and she helps clean it up before I get back. But it just puts all that stuff in there, you know, and it's so many things when you do it the old school way, and you get efficient doing it. And I'm sure you're efficient doing it. It's just, it takes like two or three steps out of it. You're not doing the sketch later, moving the pictures later, or entering.
It probably saves 10 or 15 minutes, but you're in. Yeah, it probably saves.
You know what, though? It's a combination of it all. Say for instance, notes. I do talk to text notes. I talk to text the whole description. You know, hey, the property is a Georgian style home, or it's a ranch style home with, you know, it's all brick. You know, it's got a newer architectural roof. It's got this, this, that, and you just talk to text, and it, you know, you could do your whole summary while you're there versus making little notes and then typing it later or something.
Sure.
Or
you forget a lot of stuff too, like
right
on your notes. Sure.
Right, right, and I mean that's why the photos hopefully help, but if you could do it while you're there. Sometimes you don't want to say, you know, you're talking to text while you're by a property owner. Yeah, there's stains on the ceiling. People don't
clean. And, deferred maintenance everywhere.
Everywhere,
it's
right.
Cat urine. It smells right. Like cigarette smoke.
Right. There's cat piss all over every
car. I had a trial and I was like, I read from my condition description or whatever. And it said like, yeah, the smell of cigarette smoke was present throughout the property. It was like, you know, yeah, that's me on the stand right here.
But I'll tell you, like, you could even fill out the improvement section in there, you know, like the, you know, your flooring type and your wainscot in your basement. You know, you don't have basements there, but your roof.
Yeah, that wainscoting is so important. Do
it
you
is,
really pull out that wainscoting? That is the crux of that appraisal form.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's the biggest adjustment I make. The biggest.
Yeah. Thing. I do a separate wainscoting adjustment on all my reports.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's a combination of doing the mobile and using something like Spark Importer or like a Data Master. It's a mixture of all that, or on top of that, having maybe an assistant help you. It just, the efficiency changes in the tasks of a single individual doing them all, or doing things twice, doing them in the field and back in your software. It just limits it, you know, and our fees aren't that great here. So as much as you limit and as efficient as you can be, it makes it fun too. You know, it really kind of makes it fun. And I'll tell you, it takes a little while, but you use a laser at least?
Yes, I use a laser.
No, but hey, man, I used my freaking wheel when I went mobile for like the first 10 months.
So I don't use the Disto. I don't like it.
No.
I use the Bosch laser.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Because it's got a green, and I use a green light one because in Florida, it's sunny as
fuck right.
All the time, and you can't see a red dot anywhere.
I have these infrared glasses I pop out. I have like on a little clip that I'll put when it's sunny to see, you know, but I'm sure the green works a little better, but you're right.
Yeah.
Right?
I love the green. The green's really good. And that Bosch one's like $100.
It's
very expensive.
I think they came out with one about that size though. Disto, and it's real affordable.
Yeah. And it's, and you have a, I wear a collared shirt and a belt and long pants for my appraisals, but
right.
It's got the belt. It's got a clip. For your belt.
Yeah.
You just put it on your belt.
I don't know if we could see this. So,
what the frick is that?
It's my tablet.
Is that your tablet?
Yeah. So it's big. Let me see. Shit.
Is it a Samsung or is it
It's weird. I'm an iPhone guy, but I've used the Droid with the Total for mobile.
And you're taking pictures with that tablet. You're taking pictures with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's awesome. I just like the separation. But here's what I do. I got a little neck strap. So you can do whatever you want with your hands.
Sure. Because that's the problem. Because you can't have a tablet and take it. It's, yeah.
Right. But I have a Velcro to the back. You know, and this tablet's bigger than you'd really want.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
But I had a little smaller one And then it went to like where it wasn't, we thought it wasn't compatible with Total for Mobile for a while or something, but it was just something with T-Mobile service that was acting up. Yeah. And they made me get a new one, and it's a little big, but like, whatever. You can see you're drawing, and it's hanging here, and it doesn't get in my way. So, I mean, whatever.
The only thing with ACI, I think I would get a tablet and do it with ACI if I could actually open my same report. Like, if it was in, if it was like online or something, just open my report and do my report while I'm at the property. I think that would be super convenient, but I don't, the app is different than what my form is. Yeah, so it's very hard to do. So I wish I could have like internet service and just pull up my report.
That's the
same report that's on my computer and just fill it out there. And
a lot of people think that, but the way Total works, you know, you are filling out the fields and it merges in it and it just fills in that, you know, and I'll send you some videos that I have, or I'll create some. I do have some, but it takes a little while. But I'm telling you, if you incorporate the mobile and some sort of data importing or entry help, it'll cut down on your report time by hours, you know? And I mean, you know, you can be efficient and knock stuff out, but like, you know, and I have an assistant that helps clean them up, you know, and I run adjustment models and things like that. And, you know, sometimes she can even help with that, you know, or time adjustments that I indicate from the market trends I run, or, you know, but like anything you could do to cut down on your report time, because, you know, and just be the analyst versus spending an extra 3 hours doing the data entry on the report can help you just do more or make it more fun or enjoyable, you know?
Oh, speaking of market analysis, like, I know that they just came out with out with their friggin' thing where like, oh, you need to adjust by the month or whatever. But like, this is my analysis this week, or this property I just did. The appraiser's data indicates home prices in the submarket, competing properties, which are similar to the subject property, have declined 12 to 15% over the past 12 months. 8 to 15% over the past 9 months at an annualized rate, and increased 5 to freaking 21% over the past 6 months. So it's freaking crazy. Like, could you imagine those adjustments on my grid? Like, I don't even know, but that was my analysis. Is like, holy crap, we went down and then shot up 5 to 21% based on how you looked at it, whether it was like, my 6 month trend based on 1 month. 3 month and 2 month or something like that.
Is it narrowing down like true characteristics of comparables, or is it just the overall market?
No, the submarket. That was the submarket. Wow, yeah, because I do both. Like on my appraisals, I do both. I do the general market, which is all the sales, and then the submarket, which is just similar to the subject property.
Right.
And I'll pull apart both.
Right.
And then my adjustments are based on my submarket or whatever.
Right.
But I'm seeing like freaking crazy shit, like a decline and then a spike up in the past 6 months, which is like,
you know, and
I don't know if it's really going up 30%. I'm like looking at the 2 month over 6 months and it's up 5%. And then looking at quarter over quarter, it's going up annualized rate of 30%. I'm like, there's a huge discretion in there. What am I adjusting? Like,
right.
It's like, wow.
It's tough. What I do, and I think, I don't know, if you don't use this, you got to try, because they do it with, it's compatible with ACI, is Spark. Now, we talked about it in the last podcast a little bit, but it helps you data import stuff from the MLS. But what I do in there is I run all the market for 12 months, then I run the submarket, or, you know, compare, you know, comparables or characteristics similar to the subject over 12 months. Then I run that same criteria over 24 months. So it's comparable, potential comparables over 24. So
why do you do 24?
Just to get a bigger spread, you know, just to see what's going on over 2 years versus sometimes you don't have enough in that 12 month thing.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people aren't moving here like Florida.
Oh yeah, like I've got so much data in a year. Right. I don't need to do 2 years. I don't need to do 2 years.
What I see is sporadic over the past 12. But then if I take that same criteria and take it over 24, it gives me a better picture of it. Not, you know, it's, if you take just 12, it's like misleading. Like it's either shooting up super high or you use Gandysoft.
All right. So look, all right. So Ernie, right here, this is the top is my general market. Bottom is submarket, similar to my property. So that's 12 months on top, but you can do like 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
You can do 2 months over the year.
I gotcha.
But the bottom is 24 months. In this case, it shows an inaccurate picture because it says it's going up 8% annually right here.
Right.
But over the past 12 months, you can see there's a definite decline.
Right. So
change that to a year. But again, I have freaking 60 sales in the past year. So there's enough data.
That's a lot of data.
In my submarket. So there's enough to figure it out.
Right. You know, mine is so weird because, you know, in 12 months, I don't have a lot of data lately, you know, but over 24, it more seems stable and overall than super declining or super increasing, you know. That's what I see more. Like lately, I haven't been making as many time adjustments as I used to, unless I'm doing retrospective appraisals, because, you know, this past year has been a little weird. It's just all over the place. And then if I take that same data, you know, it's not saying the same thing, but it's.
No, I found that the data is like one of these, like you see it goes down 3 quarters in a row, then shoots right back up. Jesus,
right.
This is like. And look, so it went down 12% a year. Now I'm going to change this to 6 months. It went up 28% in the past 6 months, annualized rate. I'm like, how are you making this adjustment?
You got a median or average?
This is median. Let me look what average is. Average is the same thing almost. But in the past 6 months, you're looking at, you're like freaking 34% in the past 6 months annualized rate.
That's crazy, Tom.
Yeah. So
does Gandysoft help with characteristic adjustments as well?
Yeah.
I've heard
this is not a plug for Gandysoft, by the way. This just happens to be the software that I use and I like. So it's not a plug
for them. And I've heard great things.
But I do like it. So like the bathrooms, you can just move this around and see which, like level grouping is $3,000, fitted squares method is $7,000, and you can move it around and it comes up with adjustments.
Right. You're going to get sporadic indications no matter what.
Yeah. Like for a freaking carport, I know a carport's not going for $47,000. A carport's in this range of $7,000 to $22,000. Okay. So any adjustment in there is like, cool, $15,000, whatever.
Right.
And then garage is the same thing. Garages aren't going for $120,000. These methods are like not reliable right here. So there's like 15 methods right here that go for like 12 to 13.
Right.
And GLA is the same way. Like,
hey, I mean, it gives some probability, you know, to what.
It supports what I already know. That's what I figured. It supports what I already know for this neighborhood. Like, but I can cite the source. Like, hey, by the way, my lot adjustment was $5. I feel like it's towards the lower end of the range because this neighborhood is
sometimes you just you could legitimate sensitivity analysis is real. You could do it without supporting it, but like
sure
you can, you know, you can play with those figures too to see how those ranges narrow or how your comps really start to, you know, go in a certain direction that's probable.
Yeah. Like your GLA, it may not be $60 a square foot like this analysis says. Like that's very, very low right now.
Right.
It may be $100 a square foot. And you just play around with that number not play around with it, but just alter that number and see where your comps fall in line. If they all fall in line around the same $350,000 or whatever it is, wow, that's very reasonable. It's $100 a square foot, that GLA adjustment.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. That's what they pay us the big bucks for, Ernie. Doing
that. But yeah, right. You know, and but you got to use technology though. You know what I mean? You have to use it to help you. And you know, you can't be doing all that on paper or, you know, and you shouldn't be doing all those things three times. And I'm telling you,
I know.
You know, you just try it. I'll send you some videos. Just, it takes a little while, but once you do it, you never go back. You never, you know, and it's actually fun. You know, it just brings some more technology to how you do things, and it makes it a little fun, you know. And I mean, mine, it helps because I have somebody, you know, I have an assistant that retrieves it while I'm in the field, you know, and so some things can get done while you're still out, you know, and that makes it helpful and efficient too. But it really makes it fun. I actually like the sketching software and stuff on the tablet way better than on the desktop, because you know it's right or you're right on before you leave. Like if you do a complex one and you're drawing, I mean, you got that cool drawing paper, you know, in the little lines. But at the same time, you're doing a complex one. You don't know if it actually meets.
Right.
You know, you gotta F with it when you get back to the office. But when you do it on the tablet, or, you know, just do Total for Mobile, I mean, or any other mobile software too. There's a couple others out there that have it. You know, it's got to be right before you leave, or it's not connecting in closing. You know, that's what's helpful. You know?
So I recently took on an assignment for a just a sketch, and I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. It's, you know, $150. You know, I'm gonna do it between assignments or whatever. Like a 2,500 square foot house, you know, down in Florida, there's no basements or nothing like that.
Right,
it's like
right.
All on slab. It's easy stuff.
Right.
I could not do this property. There were so many angles on it, and sketched it out probably 10 times, and I'm like, got a different result every time. I text the agent. I'm like, can you send me a copy of the survey if you have one? I'm like, I got 10 different results every time. I took every single measurement. These right. angles on this house, I can't figure out.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I think there's a survey, but in the end, he couldn't get the survey. I was looking at aerials and trying to see what the angle was, but I had every measurement and couldn't come up with the square footage of this house.
You got to.
And it was the only time in my career I could
ever ran into that.
Measure a house. I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm going to decline the assignment. I don't feel confident in my results that I give you, because they had questions about the square footage.
Yeah,
reason for it. I'm like, I can't do this.
Right. And it's that makes sense. But I always have a protractor in my car, you know, just in case you run into those, you know.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, because you run into those angles and you don't know, you know, if you're 5 degrees off, your sketch will never close. And you want to
put the protractor. You're putting the protractor on like the angle.
Yeah, on the corner on those angles. You know,
get the fuck out of here.
There's an angle finder I have out. Actually, I have an angle finder too. It's I'll send it to you. And it's digital, and it just looks like a ruler, and it'll give it to you, and you can flip the degrees back and forth, and it's super helpful. Super helpful.
No way.
What's cool with the mobile is you can put in that exact angle. You know.
So I normally like they build here like. If it's an angle, if it's like 4.5 feet, the wall, I know it's like, I think it's 2.5 or 3 feet by three feet down, 3 feet over. That's right. The angle.
Right.
Or whatever the case, it may be like 4.5, 4.2 feet or something like that. I know that's the angle. But this house had some weird ass freaking angles.
It happens.
I've never carried a protractor with me before.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've ran into it before to where I couldn't freaking get the thing to, you know, you're doing a higher end custom home. And usually it's 90 degrees or 45 or something, you know what I mean? And but then when you run in that, like I'm running around this house and I can't close it because I don't know, you know, I didn't have one with me and I couldn't figure it out.
I even shot the angles like from weird walls. Like I even shot it to another point and measured that just so I could close it out. And even still doing that, like I couldn't close the sketch out. It was so freaking weird.
Yeah, there's a couple, like a rise over run.
And there's no way. This is somebody's going to buy this property, get it appraised. The bank's appraiser is going to go out there. There's no freaking way this appraiser is going to close out this sketch and do it accurately. No way.
Yeah, but it you know, it matters. And you probably don't get a lot of those down there because everything's square.
No, never.
Things are square, you know?
Never.
But up here, our records are real screwed up. I'm surprised they don't get more just sketch requests. And I do them sometimes. But, like, agents should, you know, I don't advertise a bunch because it's not like their order and left them right, but they don't seem to care that they're advertising the wrong square foot all the time. I don't get it. I have no idea. I don't get it.
I have a great story. So regarding the square footage, this was in my neighborhood where I live. A cash buyer hired me to figure out what the property was worth, you know, to make sure they weren't overpaying. And the listing agent was there, and the square footage was off by like 300 square feet. And I was talking with the listing agent. I'm like, oh yeah, the MLS says it's like, I don't know, 2,300 square feet, but you know, it's really like 2,000 square feet or whatever, based on these measurements or whatever. And she's like, yeah, I know that, but the perceived square footage for this property in the market is 2,300 square feet. I'm like, I'm sorry, perceived square footage? Perceived. The market perceives it as 2,300 square feet. That is the first time I've ever heard that ever. You're perceiving it as 2,300 square feet because you want to get more money for the property, but the sketch says it's 23, which is what it's, or 2,000, which what it's supposed to be, and not 23, which what you put on the MLS. She's like, yeah, but that's like the gross living area. That's like the gross, but that's what the market perceives it as. I'm like, no, that's not the case. This is not accurate.
Yeah, and I mean, here, sometimes they'll have assessors that'll include like the garage, so it'll be like the gross.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we have basements here, so holy shit. I mean, they include them. And, you know, and we have split levels and weird stuff to where the lower levels used as living area. It's just below grade. So, but they just add it up and, you know, you have a 2,000 square foot ranch that's nice here with a basement. Advertise it as 4,000. But it's like, it's just confusing, but it messes up our data too. And that's what they don't understand when you're kind of analyzing that data. You know what I mean?
Because you can't go by price per square foot, or not that we do that, but you can't go by like price per square foot or anything like that.
Searching, because you know, sometimes you have to put the square footage, you know, in there to kind of search or separate out comparables and not comparables.
You're right. It won't come up. It'll come up in public. I have to do both. I search my public record search within a certain whatever my parameters are, and then I search the MLS. And I have to compare the two to see what I missed.
Right.
I do that on every assignment.
Right. But anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good. I think we went way long, an hour on this.
Yeah. It ain't bad. No, we'll do it again. We'll get some good topics soon, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah. All right. So appraisers, you know, this was Appraiser Unplugged Friday afternoon. Late afternoon, a couple of drinks, two appraisers just talking. If you have any ideas for a podcast or want to be a guest on the podcast, let us know. But hopefully you found value in the episode, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yep. See you guys later. Go Mike Tyson.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ernie, for being a guest. Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.